Please call the case.
Case number SCAP 11-1103, K. Aloha v. Machado. Arguing for the appellant, Walter Shetley. Arguing for the appellees, Robert Klein. Also appearing for the appellees, Lisa Cataldo. Argument on the merits.
Good morning, counsel. Are you all ready to proceed today?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Shetley, my understanding is you reserve 10 minutes for rebuttal, so we'll give you a warning light at 10 minutes, just so you know that's what's happening. And Mr. Klein will give you a warning light with 5 minutes to go in your argument. I did want to note for the record that Justice Nakayama had filed a notice yesterday afternoon advising the parties that she's agreed to have Kurt Klein, the son of Mr. Klein, volunteer in her chambers for the summer months of 2013, that she hadn't discussed this case with Kurt Klein, and if the case is not resolved before the summer, that she'll ensure that he's shielded from this matter. I wanted to ensure or ask if there were any objections to her participation in this case on that basis. Mr. Klein? Yes. Mr. Shetley, any objection?
No, Your Honor.
All right. And I wanted to note that I had earlier in February filed a notice that one of my law clerks had applied for an associate position at the McCorston firm where Mr. Klein, I believe, is a partner, and that he would not perform any further work on this case. That has remained the case. He's not performed any work. He has accepted a position at the McCorston firm. I just wanted to advise the parties of that fact and ask if that created any concerns or a basis for an objection. Mr. Klein? Mr. Shetley.
No, Your Honor.
Very well, then. Let's, with that, Mr. Shetley, you may proceed with your argument.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice and members of the court. My name is Walter Shetley, and I represent appellants. Appellants, four of the five appellants are here. Mr. Kahawaiawa'a could not make it. He's in the hospital this morning. Regarding that, Your Honor, Your Honors, as a housekeeping matter, the order that accepted the case for the Supreme Court said that Mr. Ho'omanawanui is not an appellant, but he is named as a plaintiff in the proposed amended complaint. He was a move-on in the motion to amend the complaint in the court below. He is named as an appellant in the notice of appeal. So in that regard, I believe that he should be acknowledged as an appellant. He was an aggrieved party below because his motion to join the case was denied. So
we'll note that argument. Thank you.
There's a next item of business. I'd like to clarify some terms. You know, we have Native Hawaiian with a small N, we have Native Hawaiian with a capital N, we have Hawaiian, and we have non-beneficiary Hawaiians. And it's very confusing this morning when I use the term Native Hawaiian. I'm going to be using the small N Native Hawaiian with under the definition in the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act. When I use the term Hawaiian, I'm going to mean non-beneficiary Hawaiians of less than one half part. So to avoid any further confusion on that point.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Now, the next item is the derisive nature of this blood quantum issue. In Akakatu, the court said the trustees believed that, quote, adoption of a single definition would better the condition of Native Hawaiians, in that the blood quantum requirement had long been recognized as the single most divisive issue in the Hawaiian community. And I submit to your honors that there is no reason under the sun why the blood quantum should be a divisive issue in the Hawaiian and Native Hawaiian community. If you cannot take care of the Native Hawaiians of the blood, there's no way in the world that anyone is going to be able to provide for Hawaiians. The Native Hawaiians have been recognized by Congress in the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act in 5F. The problem in the divisiveness, as I see it, comes from the establishment of OHA. Back in 1978, when myself and my clients were all young men, there was a CONCON. And the idea was, one of the main reasons for the CONCON was to do something about Native Hawaiians being neglected under the 5F Trust. And that was supposed to be addressed at the CONCON. The problem, of course, being that The Concon, the OHA, brings in Hawaiians as being also of their concern, and it creates a conflict of interest. And ever since then, OHA has been trying to destroy or break down the blood quantum. They should be defending the blood quantum. It's not as if there aren't enough resources to take care of Hawaiians. You can see, you know for sure that they're not going to get any money from Congress. The reason they're not going to get any money from Congress is that if there is a Native Hawaiian entity with no blood quantum, the Native Hawaiian entity will be the largest Native Hawaiian entity in the United States. And the other Native Americans do not want Native Hawaiians and Hawaiians horning in on resources from the United States of America. It's also, you know, not as if there isn't enough resources in the state of Hawaii to take care of Hawaiians. There's the Bishop Estate, there's the Lunalilo Estate, there's the Lili'uokalani Estate, there's the Queen Emma Trust. You know, all of these things were designed and intended to better the condition of Hawaiians and Native Hawaiians. But what has happened over the years is all of these things have been neglected. 5F has been neglected. We have Judge King's book, Broken Trust. This court appoints the trustees to Bishop Estate, and look what happened to that. Supposedly everything was straightened out after some of the trustees were removed, but you know, I suggest that the whole thing would be much better run if the trustees were appointed from the Native Hawaiian entity, if there was such a thing, and it should be limited in its blood quantum to one half. Native Americans, the definition of Indians is not less than one half part. These are the people who are allowed under the Indian Reorganization Act to establish Indian tribes. Once the tribe is established, they can determine for themselves what the blood quantum ought to be. But there has to be a blood quantum. Justice Breyer said in Rice v. Cayetano, he's never heard of an Indian tribe without a blood quantum. So, there's the divisiveness. OHA creates it for the purpose of getting money from the federal government, which is not going to come. Okay, addressing the issues of the case. What's agreed to, what's disputed? I believe it is agreed that under state law, OHA must use 5F funds solely for the betterment of the condition of Native Hawaiians. And that's what says in HRS 10-3 sub 1. That was said in Ahuna. That was said in Yamasaki. That was said in Day 2. That is said in the answering brief. The answering brief at page 1 says, quote, "This appeal arises from the dismissal for failure to state a claim of plaintiff's complaint which challenges certain expenditures made by the OHA trustees in furtherance of their duty to hold and use trust funds, quote, quote, solely as a public trust for the betterment of condition of Native Hawaiians, unquote." And then they cite HRS 10-31. Also, on answering brief page 17, first, the OHA trustees agree that the trust at issue is defined by sections 4, 5, and 6 of Article 12 of the Hawaii Constitution, and that HRS section 10-3 requires that a share of the income and proceeds from the land trust be, quote, held and used solely as a public trust for the betterment of the condition of Native Hawaiians. And this is with a small n.
Mr. Shotley, what do you make of the Ninth Circuit decision and Day, which said that betterment of Native Hawaiians is given a broad reading, and so extending benefits to Hawaiians in turn would benefit Native Hawaiians.
Well, that's the whole point of this case, and that's whether or not OHA has that discretion. And under federal law, that's what the Ninth Circuit said. And in this case, we're saying that under state law, they do not have that discretion. First of all, there's also no dispute that what they're doing is taking 5F money and giving it to entities that are using the money without regard to the blood quantum. That's in the record on appeal at 87 from the decision by Judge Mulway, that no material factual issue is before this court. It is undisputed that OHA is using public trust funds to support the Akaka Bill, the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation, the Nahua Noiau Education Program, and the Aloliki, none of which reserves its benefits for only Native Hawaiians, small n. Then here's where the dispute arises. On the answering briefs, page 27, as Judge Justice Akoba indicates, they say, it is beyond dispute that the requirement that OHA trustees hold and use trust funds, quote, solely as a public trust for the betterment of the conditions of Native Hawaiians, unquote, confers great discretion upon the OHA trustees. This is where we part ways. This is what we emphatically deny. Under state law, and under the common law of trust, a trustee does not have discretion to ignore the duty of loyalty to the beneficiary.
Where do you get the authority for drawing a line with respect to, I think you said collateral beneficiaries? Is it collateral or beneficiaries?
Collateral benefits.
You'd spoke in terms of spouses and children who might not be fit the description of Native Hawaiian.
I think,
but you said they should still be entitled to benefits, even if they're not, they don't fit the blood quantum.
No. Under Hawaiian Homes, no. If Hawaiian Homes turned the program over to Aloliki or one of these programs.
I thought you relied on HRS 637 to draw some kind of analogy.
Right. Yes.
So how, if you didn't plead 637 and it doesn't on its face apply, what's your authority for that distinction or for including another group that doesn't fit the blood quantum for Native Hawaiians and treat them as you would Native Hawaiians? Sorry. The question sort of inverted. Did you get the idea?
We want to apply that standard by analogy. If that's the standard, if you said to Hawaiian Home, that statute applies to Hawaiian Homes Commission. Because Hawaiian Homes Commission is part of the state, and it doesn't come under the exclusion under subsection 3, which says, oh, it's treated differently. So that provision applies to Hawaiian Homes. Now, if Hawaiian Homes took the land and gave it to Aloliki without restriction, so that Aloliki could give out homesteads to Hawaiians, that would clearly be a breach of the trust. On the other hand, when Hawaiian Homes gives out a homestead to a Native Hawaiian, and his family, who may not be Native Hawaiians, benefit from that, that is not a breach of trust under the standard of 673-1, because that is a benefit that primarily benefits the beneficiary and does not diminish the benefits that are available to other beneficiaries. So if you apply that standard to Hawaiian Homes, that's not a problem.
But the legislature chose not to impose the 673 standard that you talk about in the In the context of OHA?
I don't think they necessarily even considered that, because OHA was established, you know, 79 or 80, whatever, and this provision comes in much later and applies to the state. And they say, well, because we already have these provisions that you can sue OHA, we're going to exclude them from 673. They didn't necessarily say we're not going to, this is not a restriction, yeah? This 673 thing that says that that benefits can benefit non-beneficiaries as long as it's primarily benefiting a beneficiary, this is not a restriction. This is a grant of discretion to the state, you know? So if that doesn't apply to OHA, then they really, you know, OHA says that we're arguing that no benefit at all can accrue to anybody. It's not a beneficiary. That's not what we're saying. I don't know how they get that. Well, they get that out of one sentence that we have on page 18 or something of the opening brief, where we said that OHA can't give benefits to Hawaiians, and we should have said primarily benefiting Hawaiians.
But just in the allegations of the complaint, in the First Amendment complaint, they did not allege that the expenditures were in furtherance of programs that do not benefit Native Hawaiians. In other words, they did not, neither the complaint nor the First Amendment complaint explicitly alleged that these programs would not benefit Native Hawaiians. So is that accurate? Yeah,
yes. It does allege, well, we allege that they're being used without regard to the blood quantum in the original complaint. So that, right off the bat, I would suggest is a breach of trust. Once you give this property, this trust money to somebody and say it's no longer subject to the trust, I would say that right there is a breach of the trust.
But what if their benefits accrue to Hawaiians, to Native Hawaiians, as a result of spending money on Hawaiians?
It's not primarily to their benefit. If you give money to Alaleke for child care, and they give it, you know, provide child care for a non-beneficiary, that is an absolute breach of trust. There's no benefit whatsoever to a beneficiary by giving money to Hawaiians who are not beneficiaries for their daycare or their education or whatever kind of benefit you're giving to a Hawaiian. It's just a breach of trust.
But is it within the discretion of the trustees to make the judgment that as long as Aulike also serves Native Hawaiians, giving money to Aulike to serve Hawaiians is fulfilling the purpose of the trust, because, in fact, Native Hawaiians are benefiting?
Native Hawaiians are not benefiting when you use their trust funds to provide benefits to non-beneficiaries. There's no way, under the standard of 673.1, you cannot come to the conclusion that giving money to an agency to provide benefits for Hawaiians in any way, shape, or form primarily benefits the beneficiaries and does not diminish the trust of what's available to the beneficiary. It's taking money that belongs to the beneficiary and giving it to a non-beneficiary. There's no discretion to do that, period. That's a breach. If under federal law it says, okay, you can do that, you know, here we are in state. And I think that the complaint alleges sufficiently, in the first complaint, but to the extent that it didn't, in the second complaint, the amended complaint, we're specifically alleging that these agencies are using the money to benefit non-beneficiaries.
Is it your argument that based on HRS 10-3, solely the 5F money that OHA gets must be used solely for Native Hawaiians?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's the part that I don't think there's any dispute about. The dispute arises is, to what does that mean solely? Does giving money to an agency that benefit doesn't discriminate, I mean, that doesn't limit the use to the beneficiaries, does that better the condition of the beneficiaries? And I'm just saying, it cannot.
What is your, I realize it's probably beyond this case, but what is your position, what is your client's position as to how OHA should solely use the money for Native Hawaiians?
Well, there's lots of ways they can, here's Hawaiian Homes with no money to provide infrastructure to give out homesteads, and here's OHA sitting there with $500 million of 5F money, and we have Governor Waihei going to Congress saying we don't have enough money to provide homesteads. Please give us some money for homesteads. And here's OHA sitting with $500 million. And he says, Governor Waihei says, well, we give Native, we support public schools, and Native Hawaiians use public schools, therefore we're spending all this money for Native Hawaiians. Well, if that's the same argument that they're playing here. Native Hawaiians benefit from public schools, sure, but not primarily. You know, Native Hawaiians have a big drug problem. If OHA was to give money to Salvation Army, ATS, for their drug program, that would benefit Native Hawaiians, but not primarily. It would also benefit Hawaiians. It would also benefit non-Hawaiians. It would benefit whoever they happen to choose to enter their program. But it would not benefit Native Hawaiians primarily. So I would say that's a breach of trust. If they gave money to Salvation Army and said, you can use this only to treat Native Hawaiians, I would say that would be okay.
Mr. Shotley, if you're just looking at the state law. Article 12, Section 4 refers to a public trust for Native Hawaiians and the general public.
Right.
So would the general public include people who are not Native Hawaiians?
Yes.
And that would include Hawaiians?
Yes, but that does not include the portion, the pro rata portion that goes to OHA.
And the Article 12, Section 5 and Section 6 talk about obligations to Native Hawaiians and Hawaiians.
Yes.
So as far as at least the constitutional provisions on the state level, they're broad enough to include not only Native Hawaiians, but Hawaiians with respect to the obligations of all. Because you've lost on the federal side, you're just arguing the state side,
right.
But the state, on its face, the constitutional provisions provide not only for Native Hawaiians, but for Hawaiians.
But it doesn't provide for the pro rata portion to be used by OHA for Hawaiians. The pro rata portion is to be used for the betterment and the condition of, solely for the betterment and the condition of Native Hawaiians.
But hasn't the federal court decided that issue?
Under federal law, under 5F, yes.
But the state law just incorporates the Admissions Act, saying we have to follow the Admissions Act. So the Admissions Act, which is federal law, has already been construed to include Hawaiians. Then doesn't that construction, in effect, bind us, since we're obligated to follow the federal law, and the federal law has already been construed by the federal courts to mean not simply Native Hawaiians, but Hawaiians?
Under federal law, the state is not obligated to use any of 5F for the betterment of the condition of Native Hawaiians, only for one or more of the purposes, which is what they used to do, which is what they used to do, is to give it all to the Department of Education. And that's the reason that we had the Constitutional Convention that said that's not
but
right. That's not right. We need to set aside a portion of that money specifically for the purpose of the betterment of the condition of Native Hawaiians. Ahuna and Yamasaki say, you know, state law can be more restrictive than federal law. And that's what we're going on here. that state law is and should be more restrictive than federal law. State law should not allow the discretion of OHA. State law should apply the same standard to OHA's use of the money as they would under the state under 673, because that complies and it makes common sense that the whole trust should be administered on an equal basis. Can I reserve my time?
You may. Okay. Mr. Klein, we'll hear from you now.
Chief Justice, members of the court, Robert Klein and Lisa Cataldo, of course, and Miller McCann McKinney representing the trustees of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, several of whom are here today to listen to the argument. May it please the court. The court asked some very provocative questions. I'm not sure Mr. Shotley answered them or answered them completely. I would agree with the terminology. I'll agree that small n or native Hawaiian means 50%. Percenters. I'll agree that Hawaiians means every other Hawaiian doesn't have 50% blood quantum. Many of his statements, I thought at the beginning, were not in the record. They should be stricken. They're insulting. They talk about divisiveness and how OHA promotes divisiveness because of the way it uses the trust funds. And he talks about Indians and how in order to qualify to be an Indian tribe, you need to start with 50% blood quantum, and then an Indian nation can be formed and decide what blood quantum level is required to be a citizen of that Indian nation. I would take all of those statements with a huge grain of salt. They're irrelevant to this discussion, and I'm personally offended that he would bring these kind of concepts into this discussion, because this case is a lot simpler. This appeal arises out of a challenge to trust fund expenditures made by the OHA trustees to support the Akaka Bill, Naupua Nui Au, Native Hawaiian Legal Corp, and Aliliki. On the basis that these expenditures violate the trustees' duty under state law to, quote, hold and use trust funds solely as a public trust for the betterment of the condition of Native Hawaiians. That language is found statutorily in 10-31 Hawaii Revised Statutes. When Mr. Shotley says, we concede as OHA that these funds, trust funds, should be used or must be used solely for the betterment of the condition of Native Hawaiians, what he means is for the betterment of the conditions of Native Hawaiians solely. That's how he reads it. Now, no matter how Mr. Shotley may try to get away from the holding in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals analyzed each of these four challenged programs and came to the conclusion using common law of trust analysis that each of the expenditures made by OHA provided a benefit to Native Hawaiians, even though it additionally may have provided benefits or did provide benefits to Hawaiians.
Mr. Klein, how yes. do you respond to Mr. Shotley's argument that in terms of the federal law, the Admissions Act does say that the 5F funds can be managed or disposed for one or more of the foregoing purposes in such manner as the Constitution and laws of the state may provide. In other words, under federal law, it could be used for one or more. So the Native Hawaiians don't even have to be benefited under 5F. So we're really dealing with state law, correct?
Correct. I completely agree with you. And that's why I cited the court to 10-31, because right. I think all said and done, that's the standard that Mr. Shotley is referring to, although he has this.
When the legislature amended Chapter 10 back in 1990,
yes,
it did delete solely that provision, correct? But correct. Then it included another provision? 10-3.5 that said 20% of the proceeds shall be used for Native Hawaiians?
Correct.
So they still, the legislature still kind of continued that, and that was stricken down in 1997.
That's correct, Your Honor. The question isn't so much who the beneficiaries are, it's how to benefit the beneficiaries. And that's where discretion comes in, as the Chief Justice was talking about it. He mentioned discretion. Trustees have discretion to carry out the requirements of the trust. And I would submit some of the examples, and there was a colloquy between the court and Mr. Shotley about, in fact, I think it was Your Honor who said, what do you mean solely, Mr. Shotley? And Mr. Shotley said, well, solely means primarily or maybe only. There's a huge difference between primarily and only. If solely means primarily, then the trustees have discretion. And according to the Ninth Circuit, they did not abuse their discretion when they provided the challenged funds to the four programs, because those four programs benefit Native Hawaiians. That's why we urge that collateral estoppel bars this lawsuit. Native Hawaiians are being benefited. The very programs that Mr. Shotley challenges in state court, he challenged in federal court, and he wound up with an opinion that basically validates the expenditure by OHA trustees of these funds for those programs because they benefit Native Hawaiians.
Fundamental principles of collateral estoppel that the litigant must have had a full and fair opportunity to litigate the issue, and didn't the federal court say that we are not addressing state law issues?
Well, the state court issues were set aside. That's clearly true.
So However, isn't this court supposed to determine what the Hawaii Constitution and Hawaii law is?
Without doubt, Your Honor. Sure. But that doesn't mean this court isn't bound, nor the lower courts bound, under the doctrine of issue preclusion by the determinations made in federal court that the programs and the expenditures benefit Native Hawaiians. That's the issue,
Mr.
that
Klein?
Was fully litigated.
Mr. Klein?
Yes?
Do you think the circuit court was correct dismissing this case on a 12B6? You agree with the findings and the analysis of the circuit court when it dismissed it on a 12B6?
Yes, I do.
There's no way this complaint could have been construed to state some claim upon which we could be granted.
Well,
I mean, this wasn't even a summary judgment motion.
Yeah, and if I could ask a follow-up question,
yes,
to that. Why didn't you all bring a 12B6 then?
Excuse me?
Why didn't you all bring a 12B6 motion to dismiss?
We did.
All right, I stand corrected then. I thought the circuit court did it sua sponte. I thought your motion to dismiss was on collateral estoppel, res judicata, that sort of thing, but not failure to state a claim under 12B6.
We urged two grounds, Your Honor. 12B6, failure to state a claim, and collateral estoppel.
Mr. Klein, maybe the question is, do you see that, can this issue of whether there's a claim stated in the complaint be resolved without reference to outside sources? In fact, in the federal case, it was a motion for summary judgment. My understanding is, for example, the contracts with these entities were before the court. The court referred to them and talked about what the purposes of the funding was for. None of that's before this court. The entities aren't even, other than being named, the entities, there's no explanation of what these entities do. The only way we can understand what they do is by presumably applying some knowledge from outside the four corners of the complaint. Is that an appropriate posture for a 12B6 motion? Or can the court, as a matter of law in those circumstances, find no claim has been stated? And if so, how?
Well, I think the court can clearly find that no claim has been stated if the court accepts the view that it does not violate state trust law with respect to the ceded lands trust for the OHA trustees to not only benefit Native Hawaiians, but at the same time benefit Hawaiians with the use of the trust funds for any purpose that does so.
So we're basically back to a construction of HRS 10-3 subsection 1, correct?
Yes.
And that's what solely action.
Can I ask you this, Mr. Klein? Is it OHA's position that any expenditure of funds on a program that benefits Hawaiians would necessarily be an acceptable exercise of discretion on the theory that that program would also likely or inevitably benefit Native Hawaiians? Or is there some limit on that principle?
Well, anytime I hear the word any, I step back.
Well, I'm just trying to understand, you know, the complaint, again, defines a number of it identifies a number of entities, doesn't explain what those entities are, what they do. And so what I'm trying to understand OHA's position is that the position of OHA that as long as money is being expended for the benefit of Hawaiians, that that's an acceptable use of the funds. It's not a breach of trust, and I presume the reasoning for that would be because it necessarily benefits Native Hawaiians as well. Is that OHA's position, or is that not an accurate statement?
I don't think it's completely accurate, but it's close. This complaint, if we get back to the four corners of the complaint, that being an issue the court is raising, four corners of the complaint, this complaint is for damages and for injunctive relief. It's based on OHA's spending funds on four specific programs. It goes on to detail the four programs in paragraph 11 of the complaint, and it talks about the four we have talked about today. Now, the premise to that is that in violation of clearly established law, so that presents a legal issue. Does OHA's spending, expenditures in support of these four programs violate clearly established law? That's a legal issue. The circuit judge said no, because OHA is not limited to spending trust funds solely for the benefit of Native Hawaiians, or Native Hawaiians solely. And therefore, all the allegations in the complaint fail to meet a legal standard, which is why 12B6 motion was granted, because the court felt that the plaintiff's complaint failed to state a claim upon which relief could be granted. That is the standard. How would the court fashion relief when the court could not either provide damages or injunctive relief because it disagreed with Mr. Shockley's idea of what the law requires the trustees to do, the legal standard? If you look at the complaint, Mr. Shockley incorporates 673.1 into his complaint and says, well, there should be this balancing test.
Was that the complaint or the amended?
Complaint and the amended complaint, Your Honor.
You know, what does solely mean in 10.3.1?
What solely refers to is that there is solely a public trust. That's what the funds are. Solely precedes public trust. It doesn't come after the word Native Hawaiians. So the funds are used solely as a public trust, and in the discretion of the trustees, they use the funds to benefit Hawaiian programs, which incidentally benefit Hawaiians and benefit Native Hawaiians. And I would say that issue is foreclosed by the Ninth Circuit's argument.
So your position is that the placement of the word solely is critical in analyzing of the statute. In other words, if the statute had said to be used as a public trust solely for the betterment of the conditions of Native Hawaiians, we'd have a totally different case?
I think we'd have the same case, Your Honor. The reason being that solely, if you put yourself in the role of a trustee with some discretion, and you saw the word solely as the limit of your trust responsibilities, you would be put in a very, very strange position that I think was discerned by the district court and the appellate court, and in the examples that they gave in their opinions. For example, I think the colloquy with Mr. Shockley indicated, what happens when OHA decides that it wants to fund a prenatal health program by funding Hawaiian people, and it funds a prenatal health program from which a Hawaiian mother benefits, and she is carrying as a baby a Native Hawaiian baby. Now, is that a misuse of trust funds for which OHA could be sued? When OHA provides funds to Hawaiian homes, who lives in the Hawaiian homes? Not only Native Hawaiians. Hawaiians live in those homes too. So even in the programs that Mr. Shotley raises as valid uses of these trust funds, you find that benefits accrue to Hawaiians as well as Native Hawaiians. The legislature in Act 195, which created the Hawaiian Roll Commission, required OHA to fund the Roll Commission even though people enrolling will be Hawaiians as well as Native Hawaiians. That's also what the legislature means by solely, or what the legislature means by the valid use of trust funds. So it's almost impossible to exercise your discretion as a trustee to use trust funds solely for Native Hawaiians. I think Judge Mulway raised a similar issue. She said, so should OHA decide to give $5,000 to a Native Hawaiian, the Native Hawaiian woman perhaps goes out and buys jewelry. Another Native Hawaiian uses her $5,000 to make a charitable contribution. The use of the purchase of the jewelry certainly benefits the Native Hawaiian. The donation to perhaps Aliliki may benefit more than just Native Hawaiians. Is that a valid use? So my point being that if you put yourself in the position of a trustee with some discretion as to how to use trust funds, how can you possibly fulfill the requirement, according to Mr. Shotley, of using that money solely to benefit a Native Hawaiian? It is almost impossible to create a program as a trustee and have litigation looming behind you if you make the wrong choice, when all these examples exist out there where trust funds are used to better the condition of Native Hawaiians and perhaps the condition of Hawaiians.
I think his answer was that you could just give the money to for the purpose of building homestead land, yeah, or homesteads, and that he would view the collateral benefit given to homesteaders, Hawaiian relatives who are allowed to live in the house, is not a violation of trust because there the primary benefit would be to the Native Hawaiian who actually is the homesteader.
Sure, but Mr. Shotley wants to have it both ways, Your Honor. He wants to bring 673.1 into 10-3 because he likes the balancing idea between primary and incidental. But that's not part of the law. He realizes what the law, in his view, says solely, that it's impossible for a trustee to use their discretion to get out of that issue. They have no discretion as trustees in that particular example. You can't have it both ways. Either the responsibility is to solely benefit Native Hawaiians, or it's, as he says, primarily and incidentally you have to do a balancing test. I would submit 673-1. It does not apply. It's a waiver of immunity statute. It has nothing to do with this case. Even Mr. Shotley says it applies by analogy, but how can it apply by analogy when his base argument is that solely for Native Hawaiians is what the trustees are bound by? They have to benefit solely Native Hawaiians. None of the examples used throughout this case in federal court or in state court could be valid uses of trust funds if Mr. Shotley had his way.
Can I ask you if OHA were to use the funds to fund construction of a community center in a neighborhood that had a predominantly Hawaiian population or a higher than average percentage of Hawaiians and Native Hawaiians as compared to the rest of the island, and that center were available for use by all members of the community, not just Hawaiians, would that be an acceptable use of its discretion? Because that center would benefit Native Hawaiians, even though it benefited non-Hawaiians as well as Hawaiians.
Absolutely, Your Honor. Absolutely. That would be a valid use of funds. The trustees could evaluate that in the entire scenario, use their discretion, decide to fund that community center. Under our view, it would be valid. I think under Mr. Shotley's, it wouldn't, depending on which view he's giving you, either the solely or the balancing test.
Mr. Klein, your interpretation of 10-3, you had said that solely basically modifies public trust because it's placed before the public trust, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, then why do you even have a Native Hawaiian? Why isn't it just Hawaiian? Why did they put Native with a small and Hawaiian into the statute?
Well, I think the trust, the Ceded Lands Trust, is for the primarily for the benefit of Native Hawaiians. That's clearly from the Admission Act language through the state constitutional language and the statutory language.
And do you think that that means in the context of the statute a quantum of more than 50% Hawaiian blood?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I think the programs that Mr. Shotley complains about were determined to benefit Native Hawaiians, 50% blood Native Hawaiians. The fact that they also benefited other Hawaiians should not rein in the trustees' discretion to use these trust funds because it puts them in an impossible bind and limits their discretion to use the funds to have a community center, to fund the Native Hawaiian study, to fund a health program, and to do anything but benefit 50% Native Hawaiians. We just don't believe that was the intention, and we believe it would be totally unworkable.
Now he cites, and again, this is not in the complaint or the First Amendment complaint, so there is, you know, questions here as to whether we can, you know, the extent to which this could actually be resolved in a motion to dismiss. But with regard to the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation, he notes that that corporation actually represents actual clients in particular land use matters, so it could represent both Native Hawaiian clients and Hawaiian clients. And would you be able to say if the amount of funding that went to the Native Hawaiian Legal Corp from OHA exceeded the amount of representation given by that organization to Native Hawaiians, that then that money would be being used for a purpose that didn't plausibly benefit Native Hawaiians because it was being used to help Hawaiians in their individual cases? That's one of the examples he gives. So I guess I'd ask your response to his example of, you know, Native Hawaiian Legal Corp helps all kinds of, you know, Hawaiians, Native Hawaiians, and how is it that's giving money that's being used to represent a Hawaiian in his or her dispute? How is that helping Native Hawaiians? What would
you
answer?
We don't give the money specifically to Native Hawaiian Legal Corp so they can fund a particular case. The money goes to Native Hawaiian Legal Corp. That fulfills our obligation, as we see it, to comply with the requirements of the trust. The fact that Native Hawaiian Legal Corp may, you know, do what Mr. Shotley claims they may do without any statistics or anything is not a breach by OHA of its trust responsibilities. It's given the money to Native Hawaiian Legal Corp to benefit Hawaiians and Native Hawaiians, and clearly benefits Native Hawaiians. So I think that subsidiary use of the money can't be charged as a violation of the trust to OHA.
Can we make that judgment just on a motion to dismiss? In other words, there's nothing in the record that describes what Native Hawaiian Legal Corp does, what the contractual relationship, if any, is. Are we able to make that judgment just based on the face of the complaint, or is that something that would be more appropriate for summary judgment?
I think it's appropriate for the reasons that I gave before, which is if the court, and I believe Judge Sakamoto ruled correctly, because Judge Sakamoto viewed the trust under state law as allowing expenditures for Native Hawaiians and Hawaiians. Clearly these programs do, because Mr. Shotley accuses the trustees of funding programs without benefit of blood quantum, without discerning a blood quantum. That's his gripe.
It should only be for 50%ers. But it's a legal issue teed up by the complaint that if our view of the trust is correct, then the complaint should have been dismissed on the 12b-6. We're not going outside the four corners of the document. We're just saying he's accusing us, charging us with damages and for injunctive relief on the basis that we fund programs without respect to blood quantum.
Mr. Klein,
we admit that.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
You finished that?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Mr. Klein, on motions to dismiss, we take what's stated in the complaint to be true. Or we have to treat it as being a matter of fact. I only have the complaint in front of me, but with respect to the different expenditures, it alleges that the defendants made these expenditures, quote, without regard to the blood quantum requirements. If we accept that as true, then would we need something from the trustees to say that they took into consideration the blood quantum requirements?
Are you talking like a declaration or something which would
yes, or
well,
which would turn it into, I guess, a motion for summary judgment rather than on a motion to dismiss?
Well, in my view, when he says without regard to blood quantum, that's code for 50%. That's what he means. The trustees are funding these programs, even though not solely for 50%ers. And again, it gets back to the legal issue of what is the purpose of the trust? Can the trustees exercise discretion to make these expenditures? If they can, then it's clearly fully within their discretion to do so. And the complaint lacks merit on its face. And as a corollary to the rule that you have to accept all the allegations as true, you don't have to accept his legal characterizations as true. That would be, to me, a legal characterization, and the court is free to measure his allegations by what the court believes is the law, not what Mr. Shockley believes is the law.
You know, Mr. Klein, it appears that the Admissions Act 5F is pretty clear that the state constitution and state law gets to set what the 5F, you know, proceeds will be used for. Under our constitution, it says it's a public trust for Native Hawaiians and the general public. And so the legislature then says in 10.3 that it's the 5F funds will be used solely as a public trust for the betterment of the conditions of Native Hawaiians in subsection 1. And then says that, you know, OHA also has the purpose of betterment of conditions of Hawaiians and coordinating for Hawaiians and Native Hawaiians. What did the legislature mean with respect to using solely in 10.3.1? I think that's the issue that I'm trying to grapple with.
Mm-hmm. And that's the dispute in the case.
Right.
So, as I think it was kind of astutely pointed out in the Ninth Circuit, the question isn't so much what the purpose of the trust is, it's what the trustees do. How do they carry out, if you will, the purposes of the trust, and how do they better the condition of Native Hawaiians? How do they expend the money to better the condition of Native Hawaiians? We believe that as long as they are bettering the condition of Native Hawaiians, that the expenditure is valid even if there is a subsidiary, incidental, non-primary, whatever, benefit to Hawaiians. So it's not so much the scope of the trust as it is how you carry out that purpose.
Does the OHA receive any funding from the state other than the pro rata share of the 5F funds?
OHA receives a small portion of money from the state general fund to fund its administrative
expenses.
It's about $2.3 million, but maybe not this year.
If you can expand spend funds under for Native Hawaiians, well, under subsection 1, 10.3.1,
mm-hmm.
it has to be solely as a public trust, and it can be Native Hawaiians, but you say also Hawaiians. Then
mm-hmm.
why have section 2 under a separate section, where it just says the betterment of conditions of Hawaiians?
Well, because you can do both.
You're saying Hawaiians would be subsumed under section 1 anyway, right?
I'm saying that you can benefit Native Hawaiians also when you benefit Hawaiians. That's all I'm saying. And you can benefit Hawaiians in subject section 2 by benefiting Hawaiians or Native Hawaiians.
You would agree that the legislature could easily amend this law and to delete solely?
Yes.
Because the Hawaii Constitution does not require this.
Well, the Hawaii Constitution does not require here. Exactly right. If you read section 6, it does not require that at all.
But for some reason, the legislature placed solely in subsection 1.
Correct. They did. But they did not limit the discretion of the trustees to determine how they would benefit Native Hawaiians. The trustees, under the common law of trust, have the right to reasonably use those trust funds in a way to carry out the trust purpose, even in the situation where Hawaiians, in this case, broader class, may be benefit as long as Native Hawaiians themselves receive benefits.
Do you agree with Mr. Shelton that it has to primarily benefit Native Hawaiians, or just as long as it benefits Native Hawaiians?
I don't believe primarily is in the law. I don't know how Mr. Shotley, you know, perhaps we'd love to have it that way where there's a balancing test and then the trustees, you know, could decide and not be subjected to lawsuits when they decide that they're primarily benefiting Native Hawaiians and incidentally benefiting. That rubric is not in the law. And I think that gives Mr. Shotley a problem, because he's left with all these examples of trust fund expenditures which clearly benefit Native Hawaiians, like this Chief Justice example, clearly benefit Native Hawaiians and benefit Hawaiians. I don't believe the trustees' discretion is so circumscribed by this law. This law could also have provisions in it that says how you spend your money, how much you should spend your money, where you should spend your money, but it doesn't. It gives it broad discretion. And that's why we have a variety of programs that we support, including all these.
Just one follow-up on Justice Nakayama's question, but under this reading, are you in essence reading the word Native Hawaiian out of Section 1? In other words, The law would have exactly the same effect if it had read the betterment of conditions of Hawaiians and that the money shall be held as a public trust for the benefit of the conditions of Hawaiians. And in essence, you've read the word Native Hawaiians out of the statute, even though Section 2 clearly recognizes that the legislature understood there was a difference.
There is a difference between Hawaiians and
of course, Hawaiians. But in terms of the effect of the statute, under OHA's reading, what was the purpose to even having a Section 2 of the statute? What was the purpose? Why not just write Section 1 and say that, you know, the benefit of the conditions of Hawaiians? Because necessarily you would always be helping Native Hawaiians if you're helping Hawaiians.
I'm not sure that's always true.
Okay.
I think when you look at what Mr. Shotley is complaining about and you do the analysis, that's what he's complaining about. Wants the trustees to pay damages here for funding these programs. When you look at these programs, clearly there's a benefit to Native Hawaiians when Hawaiians have been benefited. That may not always be the case. But in these examples, they have been the case. They are the law of the case.
Mr. Plan, I should have asked this question earlier, and I realize this might be a little bit beyond the scope, but 10.3.5 does also say that OHA's, one of the purposes is for OHA to receive and disperse grants and donations for all sources for Native Hawaiian and Hawaiian programs and services. And I only asked about state funding, and I'm wondering if OHA also receives from other sources, such as the federal government or other grants?
Yes, it does. Not as much as we'd like, but it does.
Okay. And, but I'm assuming the record would not be clear as to whether or not those funds would be sufficient to cover, assuming, and this is a huge assumption, but even if expenditures for these other organizations, assuming arguendo it by the 1031, there's nothing in the record to show that the additional sums received from these other sources would be sufficient to cover those.
You're correct in that assumption. Okay. You're correct.
Okay. Any other further questions from the court? If not, Mr. Klein, thank you very much for your presentation today. And now we'll hear from Mr. Shotley in his rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. I think that the community center example is a pretty good one. Mr. Klein, I believe, as I hear everything, is of the opinion that as long as your grant provides benefit to Native Hawaiian beneficiaries, it's okay. And our position is it has to primarily benefit Native Hawaiian beneficiaries and not detract from the corpus that's available for the rest of the beneficiaries. Now, so that's the factual determination that must be made when they're deciding whether or not to fund this community center. So are there, you know, is there 65% beneficiaries in the neighborhood, or are there 25% beneficiaries in the neighborhood, or 10% beneficiaries?
There's where the discretion
comes in, but I think they have to make that analysis. They can't just say, well, it's going to benefit 5% of the people in the neighborhood and their Native Hawaiian beneficiaries, okay.
Yeah? Mr. Shotley, HRS 1031 refers to Native Hawaiians for the betterment of the conditions of Native Hawaiians. Do you think that language, because it refers to the Admissions Act, was included because Section 5F of the Admissions Act uses the same terminology, the betterment of the conditions of Native Hawaiians. And so the legislature felt that if it was going to prescribe conditions with respect to the expenditures from these lands that were conveyed to the state, that in order to do that, it had to use the same language as in 5F.
I think that was the idea at the time of the CONCON, that all these years, nothing has been done with the 5F proceeds to benefit the condition of beneficiaries, and it's time that we set aside a portion of it that specific purpose.
The fact that the statute says used solely as a public trust for the betterment of the conditions of Native Hawaiians doesn't necessarily preclude the consequence that in using this trust using that money solely for a trust for the betterment of Native Hawaiians, that doesn't preclude the consequence that in determining what the betterment is, that these funds could be expended to aid Hawaiians as well as Native Hawaiians.
Certainly.
You could construe it that way.
I do construe it that way. I construe it that the primary benefit has to be for the beneficiary.
Okay,
Native Hawaiians.
You didn't understand my question. If you say that the money is to be used solely as a public trust for the betterment of Native Hawaiians, that wouldn't preclude that in determining what would be the betterment for Native Hawaiians, that money would also be expended for Hawaiians.
No. Back to this case, if you're giving money to a Kalaliki without restricting what they do with that money, and they spend that money to provide benefits for Hawaiians, that's a breach of trust. And by giving money, we can't say, oh, we're going to give this trust money to an agency that does some work for Native Hawaiians and not even look into what they're going to do with it. But we know that they do something for Native Hawaiians, and we're going to give them this money and then let them do what they want with it. And whether they do something for Native Hawaiians or not, we're not going to concern ourselves with that. That's what our objection is, that you can't do that. You have to look at what they're going to do with the money. Are you going to give it to the Salvation Army to better run their program for anybody in the community, or are you going to say, here's the money, you use this for Native Hawaiians? That's what we're complaining about. When they gave that money to Alalika, they said, this is, in fact, you know, Your Honors, what
you
actually happened?
Does the term betterment mean that the funds have to be directly given to a Native Hawaiian?
No, certainly not.
So that a Native Hawaiian conditions could be made better if the funds might be given to Hawaiians also?
No. Giving money to a non-beneficiary does not better the conditions of a beneficiary. You know, that's a breach of trust, not under federal law, but under state, you know. Ahuna says...
Mr. Shetley.
Yeah?
What about Mr. Klein's example of a woman who's pregnant who is Hawaiian and is carrying a Native Hawaiian child? Wouldn't the betterment of a Hawaiian then benefit a Native Hawaiian?
You know, under trust law, I think a beneficiary has to be a human being, and I don't think it's got to the point where fetuses are beneficiaries. So I would sadly say no. But giving money to a Native Hawaiian who is pregnant with a Hawaiian baby would certainly be.
How about not even just pregnant, but just had an infant who was Native Hawaiian?
Okay.
Hawaiian woman who had
giving money to a Hawaiian woman with a Native for the purpose of taking care of her Native Hawaiian child would be a proper use. Yes, because that would be bettering the condition of the beneficiary would be the child. Now, you know, I just want to, you know, remind the court about Ahuna.
Your time's expired, but I'll let you complete that thought if there are no further questions. So if you would wrap up just on that thought.
Well, you know, Ahuna applies the common law to Hawaiian homes that, you know, that the obligation is to be to be used solely in the interest of the beneficiary. That doesn't refer to 10-3 in Ahuna. And I just say, you know, you shouldn't be treating Hawaiian homes different than OHA. You should have the same obligation as trustees.
Okay. Were there any further questions from the court?
No.
Now, thank you very much, Mr. Shetley, for your arguments today. Thanks to both parties, and the court will be taking this matter under advisement. Thank you very much.